Version, Matthew 11, 25 to 30. Matthew 11, 25 to 30. The Father revealed in the Son at the time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. So come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Put up your hand if you want to know or wanted to experience that verse this morning. Yeah, most of us, I reckon. Now, before we jump into today's passage, there's this one thing that I have to explain. One of the central concepts or images in this story is yoke. We talked about this in our staff meeting earlier this week, and all the young'uns thought yoke was this. And so they had an epiphany when I explained to them that it was this. A yoke is that big wooden thing that you put over an oxen, you attach it to a plough, and you plough the field with. So when we're talking about yoke, we're not talking about this, we're talking about this. Got that? Okay, that it kind of helps if you understand that. So let's pray and look at this passage together. Dear Father in heaven, God, you are glorious and you are wonderful. This idea of rest actually works its way all throughout Scripture. It's what we experienced with you in the garden, but it's what we lost with you in the fall. And because of our brokenness and because of the broken world we live in, this idea of this inner rest is something that we actually struggle with. Sometimes we actually rarely experience it, yet it's something that Jesus wants to offer us today. So, Father, I pray that through your word and by the might of your Spirit, that your Spirit will just be at work in our hearts and minds, captivating us towards Jesus, and that we'll actually not just understand, but we'll actually take hold of what he is promising to us this morning. God, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ here this morning, for my friends in faith. I pray that we'll come to understand the flourishing and the newness of life that is on offer here with Jesus. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we continue our series looking at the promises of Jesus. This idea that when Jesus actually calls us to follow him, he doesn't just leave us to our own resources. That he makes some significant promises to us in Scripture. And so we've looked at Jesus' promise to satisfy us. That just as our bodies need water, so our souls need Jesus. We've looked at last week Jesus' promise to reward us. Who is it or what is it that we're actually living for? And when we're living for Jesus, we are satisfied. And here today, Jesus promises to give us rest. Now, I realize that when you come along to church, each week you hear this call to discipleship, and it can be just a bunch of rules. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul and strength. Develop spiritual habits like reading your Bible, like praying, like fasting, like serving, like forgiving, like loving. Love one another. Be involved deeply in community. Come along to church every week. Get involved in a life group. Get involved in a ministry. Love the world. Make a dent in for the kingdom of God. Get involved in some community activity. Be salt and light in the place that you live, in your workplace. These goals, grow, reach and send, seeing more people in more places, making more responses to Jesus. It's virtually every week we tell you to do another thing and another thing and another thing and another thing, and you say, guess what, Andrew? I just can't do it. Andrew, I feel tired and I feel burdened and I feel stressed out and I feel like I'm barely coping. I can't cope with one more command. I can't cope with one more law. I cannot do another thing. I don't have to actually convince you that we live in an incredibly busy culture, do I? Your working life is incredibly busy. Your commuting life is incredibly busy. Your family life is incredibly busy. Even for those of you who are retired, retirement is an incredibly busy time of life. Looking after grandchildren, going to this and going to that. And church life can actually become incredibly busy. And instead of actually it being life-giving, it can actually be life-taking. And I get that. I understand that. Yet what I think Jesus is actually offering us here this morning is not another level of busyness. Rather, he's offering us another level of intimacy. A life with him that it doesn't actually lead to weariness and a burden. Rather, it actually leads to a flourishing and a joy and a lightness. And so can I ask you this morning, before we jump into today's passage, in your walk with Jesus, do you feel a lightness? Do you feel a joy? Do you feel a love? Does it actually come easy to you? Because this is what Jesus wants for us. In some ways, I tremble at these words of Jesus. If we understand these words of Jesus, we actually understand the very heart of the gospel. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, you, and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, I don't know about you, but I've known these words for most of my adult life. I've probably preached on this passage 5 or 6 times throughout my ministry. I know these words intellectually. But often in my heart, often I'm weary, often I'm tired, often I feel a great weight and a great burden. And Jesus is saying to me, and he's saying to you, it doesn't need to be that way. So if you're taking notes, and I encourage you to actually take notes, otherwise you actually just forget the things that God is actually teaching you on a Sunday morning. The outline for today's talk is a terrible burden and a wonderful rest. Firstly, a terrible burden. There are two things in this passage that Jesus says that we already have. A burden and a weariness. So verse 28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Again, we can identify that, can't we? This hunger, that there should be something more in life, there should be something more in my faith than I'm currently experiencing. Yet this burden that Jesus talks about in this passage has a specific focus. In Matthew 23, Jesus says, "The teachers of the law tie heavy burdens and loads and put them on your shoulders, but they cannot practice what they preach." Peter in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 15, says this, "Religion and obedience to the law place an incredible burden on people." And then he goes on to say, "But we preach grace." So what is the burden or the weariness that Jesus is actually talking about in this passage? It's the burden or the weariness of religion. By the time Jesus came along, the law wasn't just the Ten Commandments. There were 613 laws developed by the Pharisees. 365 negative commands, enough for one for every day of the year. A command, don't do this, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do this. And then there were 248 positive laws, do this and do this and do this. And by the time Jesus came along, the religion that they taught, it was heartless, it was cold, it was arrogant. Instead of drawing people to a close relationship with God, instead of allowing people to actually flourish in love and joy and grace, it actually had become an incredible burden to people. Again, you hear this from me virtually every week. I tell you that you've got to commit to one service. You know, come along to church every week, not every second or third week, but every week. Get involved in a life group, because if you're not in a life group, you won't flourish in community. Get involved in ministry, because God has given you spiritual gifts and you have to use those spiritual gifts. Make a dent in this community. Serve somehow in your local neighborhood. And again, all of that can sound like a bunch of laws. This idea of yoke, it works in a couple of ways. You know that cattle with a big yoke over us. It works in two ways, is that this yoke is actually incredibly burdensome. It's a huge weight upon our shoulders, but it's also this idea that we're actually yoked to something else. And Jesus is saying to us, when he's talking about this idea of yoke, think about what it is that weighs you down in life. What is it that actually is making you weary? What is it making you so tired and so anxious and so frustrated? When I was at school, all the way through my school, report day was the worst day of my life. Report day, in all my reports from primary school to high school, there was the same line in every report. Do you want to know what it was? The line was, Andrew could do better. You know, Andrew could do better if he just turned up to class. Andrew could do better if he just stopped talking so much in class. Andrew could do better if he actually just brought a piece of a paper and a pen to class. Andrew could do better. But you know those words, Andrew could do better? They're actually haunting words over my life. There's this nagging weight and this nagging burden that I could actually do better than what I currently am doing. I could be a better husband. I realize in my heart of hearts, I haven't loved Jesus Janelle, the way that she deserves to be loved. I could be a better father. I love my kids, but I haven't loved them the way that they deserve to be loved. I could be a better friend. I could be a better preacher. I could be a better leader. I could be a better... There is this nagging voice that goes on inside of my head that I should just be better. And then there's this actually desire in my life when I actually read the Word of God and I read all the commands in the Bible and I read how I should be full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control. And actually I look at my life and I think these qualities are often so much amiss in my life, and there is this terrible burden of an unfulfilled life. Friends, this weariness actually often comes from this sense that we carry with us, a sense of guilt, that we don't quite measure up, that even as followers of Jesus, that we're actually not doing what actually God has actually called us to do, and we are weighed down by this horrible, horrible burden. Also, Jesus uses this image of a yoke, this idea that if we're actually not yoked to Jesus, we are actually yoked to something else, and that something else is actually an incredible burden in our life as well too. So what is it that gives you meaning and joy and purpose and fulfillment in your life? Sometimes we're actually yoked to our marriage, aren't we? We actually worship our spouse and we place an unbelievable burden on that marriage. Sometimes we're yoked to our children, living out our dreams, and we're actually crushing them under the weight of our expectations for them. We are yoked to our work, and we just actually strive and strive at our work to become better and better and better, and it's a burden over our lives. But there is another yoke. Some of us are actually yoked. It's a really old-fashioned word. We don't use it very much anymore, but we're actually yoked to sin. There's a hidden part in our lives that we actually don't reveal or we don't share with anybody else, but it's there. An inappropriate relationship and an addiction. And an addiction that we're actually extremely ashamed of, but we actually just will not. We will not give it up. Yoke to unforgiveness, yoke to bitterness, yoke to rage, yoke to anger. Jesus looks at us and he looks at the people that he actually came in contact with and he says they've got such a heavy burden upon their lives. They're so weighed down. And sometimes, even as followers of Jesus, we carry this deep sense of guilt around with us because of the stuff that is going on in our lives. So can I ask you this morning, what is it or who is it that you're actually yoked to? What is actually causing that sense of weightiness and that sense of burden and that sense of anxiety and that sense of fear in your life? Because this morning, today, Jesus actually wants you to get rid of that. How do we do it? Well, a wonderful rest. Many people down through the centuries have actually come to faith through this passage, and it's easy to understand why. Most people who suck breath down through the centuries and in our age actually feel a burden and weight. They actually feel tired. And then they hear Jesus' words of this wonderful promise of rest. And they say, yes, yes, I want that. And can I ask you this morning, is that what you want? Some of you here may not yet be a follower of Jesus. You know, you're just coming along to church. You're kind of sussing it out. Today is the day where you can actually give your life to him and find rest. How do we do it? For verse 28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for yourselves, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Firstly, did you see what Jesus says? He says, come to me. That's an astonishing statement. In Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, the prophet Jeremiah writes this. He says, the Lord God Yahweh says, follow the path I give you, and I will give you rest for your souls. You see what Jesus is claiming? He's claiming to be the Lord God, Yahweh, the fulfillment of Jeremiah. He says, come to me because I am God, and lay your burdens and lay your anxieties and lay your sins down at my feet because I will forgive them and I will counsel them out. Do you know how good news that is? To stop striving, to stop trying to have to prove yourself before God, to stop having to try and prove yourself and justify yourself before others, and to find true forgiveness, true acceptance, true love, and true rest at the feet of Jesus. Jesus, the Lord God, who died on the cross for your sins, says, come, see me. And lay your burdens down at my feet. How do we do that? Well, back in verse 25, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. So he contrasts two different types of people. You've got the wise and the learned and the little children. Jesus says the wise and the learned will actually never experience this rest, but little children will. Now, what is he saying? If you're smart, if you're intelligent, you'll never get this rest and you'll never get Jesus? Well, no, he's not saying that. Who are the wise and the learned? The wise and the learned are the people who are actually unteachable. In Isaiah, it's the people who are blind, deaf, and dumb. Blind to God, deaf to his word, and hard of heads and hard of hearts. And do you know who are the blind and deaf and dumb in scriptures? Do you know who are the wise and learned, the people who just cannot be taught? It's always the religious. It's people who have gone to church for 10, 20, 30, 40 years of their life, and they are just blind to God, they are deaf to His word, and they are hard of hearts. It's kids who have grown up in Christian households and gone to Christian schools and gone to Christian churches, and they've been so inoculated with the gospel that they're actually deaf. They're deaf to Jesus. And friends, if you're not actually experiencing this rest in your life today, could it actually be possible? Could it be possible that Jesus actually places you amongst the wise and the learned, amongst the blind and deaf and the dumb, the people who just will not listen, who will not see, and who are hard of heads and hard of heart? Well, if that is who we shouldn't be, well, who should we be? Jesus says we actually should be like little children. I can remember a number of years ago, Janelle, when we were living in Western Australia, she came over east. That's what they call it in Western Australia, this mystical land over east. Her family was back here, and she was here for a couple of weeks, and she took the kids with them, and my kids were really little at that point. And then I picked them up at the airport in Perth, and Jessie, she was really little, but the moment she actually saw me, you know, her eyes and her face actually just lit up, and she started giggling, and she started running towards me, and she grabbed me, and I picked her up, and she nestled her head in my neck and just gave me this embrace of hug. And Jesus is saying, will you and will I, will we be actually like that with Him, to come to Him like a little child in adoration and love? Stephen Covey, you know that guy who wrote The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People? He talks about this idea of your true north. What is your true north? What is it that actually captivates your heart and your mind and your imagination and your desires? He says, whatever is your true north, that is the thing that you will live for. And Jesus is saying, make your true north Me. Come to Me like a little child. Throw your arms around Me, love Me, worship Me. You know, Karl Marx had this idea, he came up with this idea that, you know, Christianity or religion is just for the weak, and he meant it as kind of a criticism against people who actually believed in God, that if you believed in God, if you're a follower of Jesus, you were weak. But do you know he's right? Christianity is for the weak. It is for the humble. It is for the people who say to Jesus, I can't do this alone. I need You. I need Your love. I need Your grace, and I need Your strength. I'm not going to be self-sufficient. I'm not going to be independent. I'm going to throw my arms around You like a little child throws their arms around their mum and dad. But it's more than that. It's not just that our burden is actually taken from us. It's that we're actually yoked to Jesus. And this talks about a discipleship relationship, that we're actually yoked to Him in life, that where He says go, we follow. But Jesus says, I am gentle and I am humble. He says, come to Me, learn from Me. You can trust Me. I am loving and kind. My daughter, Jess, she's just turned 16, and she's got her L plate, so I think she's done 7 hours of driving thus far. And for those of you who have taught your kids to drive, you know what those first 7 hours are like, don't you? But when Jess jumped into the car for the first time, she didn't know anything about anything. She really didn't know even how to hold the steering wheel. The first couple of corners, you know what she did? She, instead of doing this, she just did this. So her head would be down below the dashboard, and kind of, I said, how's your, you know, your line of sight? Is that working for you, Jess? She didn't know, you know, how to put it in drive and how to put it in park. She didn't know how to put the handbrake on and how to put the, she didn't know how to put the indicators on and how to put the indicators on. She didn't know where the headlights were on and when the headlights were off. She needed to be taught in everything. And Jesus says, will you come to Me like a little child? Will you come to Me like that? Will you allow me to teach you what life is all about? Jesus makes this incredible promise to us. He says, I'm yoked to you. He says, I'm not going to go anywhere. I don't expect you to be very good at this. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control. I don't expect you to be good at this, but I can teach you. My son Liam, he's got these headphones, you know, those big headphones that he studies with, but they reduce any other sound or noise. So when he's got them on, the music playing, he literally can't hear anyone or anything. And that's fine when he's studying, but then he comes down to the lounge room and he's still got these things on. And you're actually talking to him. And he just doesn't actually even acknowledge you. He literally cannot hear you. And so then you start yelling at him and he still doesn't actually respond. You start throwing things at Liam. I'm training our dog to bite him. Not just lightly, but just to take flesh from his legs. Just to actually, do you know how frustrating it is to actually talk to your son and he just will not hear you because he's got these headphones on? Friends, I reckon that's what we're like with Jesus, isn't it? You know, we've got these headphones on and we're listening to all this other noise and all these other voices and all these other desires and all these other things. And Jesus says, will you just take those headphones off? Instead of being deaf, will you actually listen to me? Instead of being blind, will you actually see me? Instead of being hard of heart and hard of head, will you actually be soft and tender towards me? Because it is in that place, it is in that place that we find rest. You know, when my prayer life, when it's just a spiritual discipline, when Jesus isn't the true north of my life, it's burdensome. But when Jesus is the true north of my life, my prayer life is so rich, I can't wait to actually be in communion with God. Do you know when Jesus isn't my true north, reading the Bible is just a discipline, it's just something I do, but when he's actually the true north of my life, my affections are directed towards him, the Spirit is at work in my life, bringing these words alive, I can't spend enough time in the Word, it's just my favorite part of the week. Do you know when I was a pastor leading the church, when Jesus isn't the true north of my life, this thing becomes an incredible weight and an incredible burden. But when he's my true north and I realize that I'm sharing this load with him and he's the big ox and I'm just a little ox, this thing, instead of becoming a burden, becomes a pure joy. Jesus is asking us this morning, what is the true north of your life? Who is it or what is it that you are yoked to? And he says, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Will you do that this morning? We're going to pray, and then there's going to be a kind of a song, and it's just a time to actually for us to actually reflect upon our hearts, upon our minds, upon our ears, and upon our eyes, and redirect them towards Jesus. Will you do that? Let's pray.